Good afternoon, or, oh, good morning, I'm sorry, I'm a little ahead of myself today. Today I got a simple lesson, and that is how special we are. Now I want you to, those of us who are adults, those of us who are parents, I want us to look at this in the eyes of a parent, but also in the eyes as a child at the same time. Those of us who are parents, when we had our first child, the rest of them are the same. You know that commercial that you see on TV where the lady has a little girl wants to hold the baby, and the lady wants her to sanitize her whole body before she holds that baby, the newborn baby. And then the second one where she's in the auto shop, and then the guy is sitting there and he's all dirty and stuff, and she's handing the baby to him. You know, it's after she's, you know, because when you're not a new parent anymore, after you've been through it once or twice, you know that kids are resilient and you're not so, you know, protective of them. But my point is, before the baby is born, when we know that there's going to be a baby coming in our lives, what we do first is, a lot of times the mothers change their lives. They change their lifestyles. They change what they eat. They change some of the habits that they do. A lot of things change in their lives because something special is coming. Same with the fathers. Change our lives. We might work a little more and try to do things because we know something special is coming. We prepare the houses for this special child that we're about to have, this blessing from God. We put bumpers on the corners. We do all kinds of things to keep them safe, keep them protected. We think about the food that they're going to need to eat. We think about the clothes that they're going to need to wear. And a lot of mothers go a little bit overboard with that because they go out and buy these name brand clothes. You know, you got a newborn wearing Jordan tennis shoes. You know he's only going to be in them for 3 or 4 days. You know, they probably cost $200, but he's special. So he's got a hat on, designer jeans, whatever. Special. My wife knows what I'm talking about. But that's all right. Special. You want to have the best. You want to have everything. Even our plan for the future, we do that too. We start a savings account for the future college and stuff like that. We start thinking about how we need to change our lives so to make our special child's life better. We buy special car seats. We do all of these special things in preparation for the special one that's about to come. Just think about that for a second. Changes your lives, don't it? Just about all of us in here are probably parents. Changes our lives, changes our whole perspective on life. God's the same way. Before God ever put man on earth, he made preparations for us. In Genesis chapter 1, we know that the first two chapters of Genesis talks about the preparation before man. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Chapter 1, verse 1. And we know that how he created the earth and how he put the light in the stars, and he started time, he started days, and he done all that for us. The next thing the Lord did in verse 20 of chapter 1, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters bring forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 22 says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, by saying that, what God is saying, what he did already, what he did with the animals and everything was perfect. He wanted it to stay that way. He wanted them to perpetuate that. Be fruitful and multiply. Verse 24 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that that was good as well. And then God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. All the preparations that God had done for us. Because why? Because we're special. God gave us a soul. No other creature, no other living thing on earth has what we have. We have a soul. We have free will. Think about that. No other creature, no other creation of God's has free will but us. Another thing that we have, we are the only creatures that God has made who can reject God if we want to. Now that's special. Think about that for a minute. Soul. Special. We weren't created, we were made by God. We weren't just spoken into existence, we were made by God. We were given a soul that we would live forever. And like I said before, if we want to, we can live and reject God's will. As loving parents, we guide our little ones in the right direction, helping and correcting them as they go, trying to show and teach them that our ways are the best ways. When they're toddlers, when they're little, that's what we do. They do something wrong, might slap their hand. They do something right, we praise them. They're special. We're trying to bring them up in the right way. Although the Lord has given other animals the ability to teach their young ones, we have special abilities and a special understanding of how things work. And we try to teach and we try to guide our little ones in the right direction. And our Father in heaven was the same with the Israelites in the wilderness in Exodus. Our Lord taught the Israelites. He corrected the Israelites when they were wrong, showing them right from wrong. And as I said, punishing them when need be, just like we do as parents. The Lord did that. Why? Because the Israelites were special people. And they needed that guidance. You know, when our children get older, though, and they move out on their own, they become influenced by others in a bad way. You know, when they were younger, we say, hey, don't go down there and mess with old Bad Billy down the street because he's going to get you in trouble. Or tell your daughter, stay away from them cliques because because they're just going to lead you down a bad road. We tell them all these things, and what do they tell us? They know better. All of the learning, everything that we had tried to teach them goes right out the window at some point when they reach the teenage years. Okay, we got this. Don't need you no more. That's the way they act. Probably the way we acted too when we were teenagers. The Israelites were the same way. Now, I'd like us to turn to Judges, chapter 2. The Lord had brought them out of Egypt. The Lord had led them through the wilderness. He taught them to rely on Him. He taught them to stay away from all of these other people. They were going to be bad influences. He fed them. He clothed them. He done all these things for them. Gave them the promised land. Made life easier for them. We do that with our kids too. Sometimes we send them to college. We've fed them. We've clothed them. We've done all these things all these years. And they've survived all of that. Why? Because of us. And our teaching and our goodwill. Planning their future, trying to make life easier for them than it was for us. And then they reject us. Just like the children of Israel did with the Lord. In chapter 2 of Judges, verse 11, it says, just as an example, because this is a continuing example all the way through Judges. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed after other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. You ever see your kids go out and give other people, give their friends, parents, more respect than they give you? They listen to your friends, parents, more than they listen to you. After all you've done for them, they go out and listen to somebody else, and their way is better than your way all of a sudden. That's what was going on here. After everything they've seen, after everything that God had brought them through, the first thing they do when they get around other people is want to be like them. You know, thank you, God, but you can get out the way now. So, you know, the Lord said, in this case, it's time for a little tough love. You know, we're like that too. We get frustrated sometimes with our kids. We're like, okay, if that's what you want, we're going to give it to you. Let you see what it's like, since you're so smart. Let them take care of you. Let them do it. Since you think you know what you're doing. And the Lord did that with Israel. Verse 14 says, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. You want it, you got it. We do that sometimes. I know we do it in a limited way. You're not going to let your child go out there and fall off a mountain or jump off a bridge. But to some extent, we'll say, all right, you think you're smart. Okay. But as loving parents, we go save them every time. Doesn't matter what it takes. Doesn't matter the sacrifice. That's what we do. The Lord was the same way. Verse 18 of chapter 2 of Judges. It says, and when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hands of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groaning by the reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Our loving Father, even though we do wrong, He's still with us. Still giving us a way out. Just like with us with our kids. And I know you've heard this phrase. I brought you into this world, and I could take you out. We don't ever mean that. And we say it out of frustration. Because we wonder, how can this loving child that I held in my hands, that was so loving, that used to go to church with me, you know, when I would sit up there and not want to go, they want to go. That happened to me with my son one time. I didn't want to go to church. No, I want to go. I want to go. Best thing that ever happened to me. He got me to go. Wanted to sing songs. Wanted to do this, that. That same child now off doing whatever they want to do. And you say to yourself, did I bring him into this world? And we know our Heavenly Father has the power. He was brought us into this world, and He could take us out, and He's already done it once. If we read, go back to Genesis chapter 6. But see, even then, God loves man so much that He judged everybody on an individual basis. And because of that, 8 people were saved, Noah and his family, because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God the Lord loves us and judges us separately as well. Not punishing everybody for the deeds of a few. There was one lady who sat up there and was telling us about her parents. One person getting in trouble, she lined them all. The parents lined them all up against the wall, and they all got a whooping, whether they needed one or not, because they figured they were going to need one sooner or later anyway. But God's not that way. He's a loving God, a loving Father who sits up and treats us as individuals. And we're the same with our children, too. All our children have different personalities. We might have one that's badder than the other. We might have one that's good, but we judge them all the same. We love them all the same. And we judge them fairly. That's love. Our Father finds us so special. You know, when our kids get older and they're out on their own, we plead with them. We talk. We send others to talk to them. We might send the preacher or a religious figure or somebody who is influential in their lives to talk to them, to reason with them. And all we can do when they move out of the house is to hope and to pray that all that we've taught them is going to sink through at some time in their lives. It's going to kick in. And they're going to do right. And that, not only that, but they'll pass it on to their children too. That's our hope for our children. And in the same way, our Heavenly Father sent prophets, sent faithful men to talk and to plead with Israel, to come back to God's ways, proven and tried ways. Pleading. Prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, even some that weren't prophets like Amos, just a simple shepherd. Different people coming from God to give a message to the people that God still loves them and wants them to come back. No matter what they had done, if you read Jeremiah all the way up till the end, he was still pleading with his people, please turn around, just turn around and come back to me. That's all you got to do. You know, our Heavenly Father loves us so much. He had all these things written down for us as well, in black and white and red. And it's right here. Everything we need to know about life, everything we need to know about our Heavenly Father and what He wants for us. Living a good life, living the right life, it's in here. How to raise your children, it's in here. How to stay away from evil, it's in here. All of these wonderful things in this book. Why? Because God loves us so much. He could have just said, I'm not going to tell them anything. I'm going to let them stumble around in the dark, let them figure it out. If they do right, fine. If they don't. But He loves us so much that He gives us this. You know, there are parents out there who don't care about their kids, who do let their kids run off and do whatever they want to do. And some of them actually turn out right anyway. But the Lord didn't leave that, didn't leave nothing to chance. Give it to us right here in His Holy Bible, His Holy Word. You know, we're the only creatures of God that doesn't see the benefits of His guidance and His love. Do you know that trees don't sin? Animals don't sin. No other creature, no other living thing on this earth sins, goes against God's word, goes against God's wishes, except for God's special people, us. And you would think with our brain superiority and our thinking and everything that we know, our ability to reason and stuff, that we would come to the conclusion that God is the one for us, that He is our Father and that we should listen to Him. In the same way our kids should be, you know, when they grow up too, we would think that they would have that kind of sense to understand that. But it doesn't always work out that way. But He loves us so much. And the Lord was willing to sacrifice anything for us. Let's turn to John. Very familiar verse. John chapter 3, verse 16. We probably all know this by heart, but I'm going to read it anyway. It says, for God so loved the world. Now, we're talking about the world here, we're talking about man. I mean, He loves all His creation. But again, like I said, only one of His creations tend to not do what He wants them to do. It says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's because we're made in the image of God. We have a soul. Our soul is eternal. You know, when our fleshly body is removed from us, the soul is still going to be there. Still going to be alive in a spiritual sense. Verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Sacrificing His only begotten Son. The Lord put everything on the table. He went 100% of the way. Verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Lord has given us every opportunity. The Lord has given us everything. And even then, sometimes we still are weak and mess up. But I'm going to tell you something. God's given us grace out of love. And if you're sitting here today, it was God's grace and love that woke you up this morning. None of us woke up because we deserved to wake up this morning. We didn't do nothing to deserve to wake up this morning. We woke up this morning out of God's love for us. And if we woke up this morning because of God's love for us, it's because God has given us another day, another chance to do what He wants us to do. To come back to Him. If you've been blessed with this day, and we all have because we're all, I don't see no dead people sitting in these pews. We've all been blessed to be here today. We have an opportunity to change our ways. We have an opportunity to come back to God, to do His will. As parents, I would think that we'd be able to have an inkling or an understanding anyway of how God must feel about us as His children. How He has done everything for us. He has provided everything that we needed. And yet, we reject Him. Yet, we fail to do His will. As parents, we should be able to understand that a little more clearly than maybe some of the young children or maybe some of the people who may have not had any kids. You know, sometimes when I'm sitting up here thinking about my children, I think about how not so great I was when I was a child. How I didn't listen to my mother when I was a child. I listened to her enough to keep me out of Jackson. Because I got friends who are up there. But not enough to keep me out of the trouble that I ended up getting into. And God has given us an opportunity. God has been there when we needed Him. We pray to the Lord and He would answer our prayers. Why? Because He loves us. Even sometimes when we're in a position to where, you know, we would think that He wouldn't help us at all. But out of His love, He still loves us. Just as parents, we do the same with our kids. No matter what they do, we still love them. No matter what they do, we still want to help them in every way we can. That's what God wants to do with us, if you let Him. He's not going to force Himself on anybody. He wants you to come to that realization that He is the way, the only way, the right way. And that we should not only follow His ways, but we should teach His ways to other people as well. But as I said before, think about this really hard. If you see that maybe your life has been lacking some with the Lord, you have an opportunity this day, since you was woken up by Him, to change your ways, to ask Him to forgive you, to give Him, ask Him to give you strength. I don't know if there's anybody here who's not a Christian, but I will say this much. Obedience. Going back to what the Lord had said in verse 18 of John chapter 3, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. We have to be obedient. And that goes beyond just belief, just saying, I believe that there's a God. You have to be obedient to the same. So please, think of these things as we stand to sing the song that was selected for the Savior's invitation.